Welcome in to episode 76 of the Godly Young Men podcast. We are very grateful, as always, for you joining, whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on your favorite podcast platform. I'm tremendously excited about this episode. I'm sure Joe is probably not quite as excited about it as I am. This is definitely my geek zone as far as what I get really passionate about, what I love talking about. We've had very practical episodes before. In fact, I think less than 10 episodes ago, I don't remember the exact number, we did How to Write a Resume. Yep. Was a very practical type episode. Job interview skills. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones we've done that are kind of in that vein of like, here's how you do this, how to study the Bible.
Testosterone was enough.
Exactly. Very practical. This one definitely falls into that category. We're talking about budgeting, how to do a budget. We've had a money episode before, I'm pretty sure, kind of about just general principles surrounding money. But we have not gotten into the nitty-gritty, you might say, of how to do a budget. And again, this is my geek zone. For whatever reason, I love talking about this. I love guiding people in this because it's something that, even though a lot of people know what it is, very few people know how to do it and why it's important. So there's quite a few steps we're going to get into. But the first question we have to ask, as probably a lot of you are asking, is like, who cares? Why is this important? Why is this even needed? And so that's where we're going to start.
Sure. I'm going to also pump Will's tires here for a second. He's fantastic at this. So when you're getting advice from him, he is one of the best I've seen at this. And I say that in all seriousness, not just to pump his tires. Like, he's very, very good and very smart with his money. He had way more in the bank than I did. And you're 5 years younger than me, I think.
Six.
Yeah. And a significant amount more, and it's increasing. I mean, he's very, very smart with his money and how he handles it, his investments, things like that. And so I just want to say that right off the bat, which is I'm going to be asking a lot of questions. I'm going to be deferring to him a lot because I'm an idiot when it comes to money. Getting better. Very much working on
it. Joe actually doesn't believe in budgets. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, hardly. It's very difficult when you own your own business.
This guy.
We go back and forth. But no, in all seriousness, this is a very serious topic, and this is something that, again, I'm deferring to Will in a lot of these areas because he kind of is the expert in this, and he does know a lot of these things. I will fill in and chip in where possible, but I'm really going to let him kind of take off on the outline. But as far as why it's a big deal, first off, if you look at any recent statistics, I think we're in the worst credit card debt in history. Oh, yeah. We have more, like the average American has so much stinking credit card debt.
We're a debt-based society.
We are very much a debt-based society. And so putting together a budget is all that much more important. We would say, as we talked about the last time, be very careful with credit cards as much as you can, avoid them. But let's be honest, this is where a budget's going to come in, is sometimes you're going to find yourself in bad financial situations. We need to understand how to get out of those things. But the other thing is, there is a serious importance placed on good stewardship of what God has given you, mm-hmm. and what he's blessed you with, because it's kind of I know it's not specifically about this, but the talents, right?
Yeah.
Guys given one, guys given two, guys given five. And what you do with what God has blessed you with does matter.
It absolutely matters.
And yeah, we're the most blessed society in really the history of the world. Like, the poorest among us is still a king compared to those in previous times. And so, with that in mind, I think first off, it's just important for us to be very good stewards of that which God blessed us with, instead of blowing it on stupid stuff, which is what a lot of people do.
Well, if you ask me, like, hey, how would you define a budget? Essentially, it's just being intentional with your money.
Yeah,
being intentional about where your money goes. And to me, that falls into what being a good steward of what God has blessed you with. That kind of encapsulates it. Is like, I'm intentional, I'm purposeful where it goes, as opposed to, man, I don't have any idea where all my money goes. I get my paycheck, and then I'm just waiting on my next one because it all just disappears. That's not being a very good steward of what God has blessed you with. To the talents point Joe brought up a second ago, you know, you had the one guy that buried it, and you had the other guys that went out and did stuff with it. They were purposeful and intentional with it, and they were blessed for it. And so that would be the first aspect of it, is just being intentional.
And here's the other thing I'd add to this, kind of the second aspect of the good stewardship. You need the ability to take care of your family for the future and for as many generations as you can stand. Like, that would be fantastic if for the next 5, 6, 7 generations you were set up. I remember watching something about LIV Golf, and, you know, they were offered huge contracts. Well, aren't you going to turn down from ethical and everything else? And one guy just made the point, like, this is generational wealth. This will set my family up basically for forever if I take this deal. You have to think about that. I'm not commenting on whether that was right or wrong or anything about golf.
Just the principle.
Just the principle of, like, it's really important for us to think about it. And what we're seeing in today's culture, this is the sad thing. You're seeing a lot of people that's like, I just got mine, And you know what? My kids, you see these millionaires, billionaires who are not giving their kids a dime. Well, I had to make it for myself. You know how foolish that is? The Bible also speaks to this, but how foolish that is that you would work and work and work and you'd build something up and my kids have to start at the same exact spot I had to start. Like, no, that's the point of building wealth, is to set your family up for your future. Well, and a great way to do this is being very intentional and very smart with your budget.
Well, and there's something inherently, in my opinion, manly and masculine about knowing I am responsible for my family's current financial situation, yeah, but also for their future.
Yeah.
I don't want to be, you know, 75 years old, still having to work 50 hours a week to make sure my wife is taken care of. Right. And so there's an aspect of like the ability for you to take care and provide for your family right now. And if you're obviously, if you're 15, 17, 18, like that's not applicable to you right now, but it will be once you get married. And so getting kind of some of these principles down early, again, so that you can take care of your family in the immediate situation, make sure that you're using your money well, make sure they have food on the table, all that kind of stuff. But then also in 30, 40 years, you have, again, been intentional, been purposeful, planning for the future, et cetera, to where you can take care of them for generations. But let's go ahead and get into, again, I've kind of got seven steps here that we will, again, we're going to be very practical, nitty gritty.
I'm going to be taking notes here.
I was going to say, that's what I was actually going to say, is if you're in a spot where you can take notes, I'd encourage you to, not if you're driving, don't do if you're driving. But here's kind of the way that I would encourage you to do it. Step number one is going to be to track everything that you spend for a month. When I talk about budget, I'm talking about from a month-to-month perspective, monthly, January 1 to January 31st. So the first thing you want to do is track everything that you spend. This is more difficult to do if you're a frequent cash user, because obviously you're going to use cash and then, you know, you can't really have any record of it. I personally don't ever use cash. I prefer to do everything by card. A lot of people would say, you know, that's probably not great because the government knows what you're spending on. It's easier for me to track. Yep. If you do want to be a cash person, you're just going to have a little bit more work behind it because you have to keep all your receipts. Yep. And then at the end of the month, you can sit down, you know, with all your receipts. I spent $17.16 at McDonald's. I spent $28.37 at Lowe's or whatever it is. If you have the receipt, again, if you're a cash user, you have to use the receipt. So that's step one. Pretty simple. Track everything that you spend on. Every dollar that comes out of your bank account for the month, track what you spend it on.
So how do you break that up? Are you talking like, well, this much went to food, this much went to entertainment, this much went to housing, this much went to, like, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. So the first thing would just be to make sure you can track everything.
Okay.
Make sure, again, that you're not paying for a bunch of stuff in cash. And I mean, that's how people get into, like, well, I just don't know where my money goes. Well, yeah, because you spent $20 at McDonald's. And
yeah.
So the first thing would just be able to track everything that you spend. Here's where we get into the categories that you're talking about. Did you have something?
No, I was just going to say, this takes time.
This is
the intention point that you're talking about is, you have to intentionally make time to sit down and do this at the end of the month.
Yeah.
That's one of the hardest things, is like, I don't have time for that. You know how many purchases I made this month? When my wife and I did this, it was astounding. This is to your point. It was astounding how much money went out.
Because people don't know. They don't check.
Yeah, they have no idea. It's like, oh, we went out. Yeah. I think I went out a few times, and it's like,
you spent $150
on food. Boom, 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 boom. And by the end of the month, you spend hundreds on something, and you go, what?
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea. That's the purpose of tracking everything you spend, is so you can have these eureka moments and go, we have a problem. We need to lock down this area.
Exactly. So step number two is going to be to write down your fixed costs. So again, if you are 17 years old, still living at home listening to this, just take these notes and use them later on, because this is going to apply a little bit more to people with families and rent and whatever. But you have things that are going to be fixed costs. By that, I mean you can't change it even if you wanted to. You're not going to be able to change your rent payment. You're not going to be able to change your mortgage payment. You have to pay that every single month. And so you're going to write that down as a cost. Obviously, if you own a house, you're going to have utilities. Subscriptions that you have. These are things that are not going to change. Now, if you cancel them, you can change. But like, these are things that don't change month to month.
Spotify.
Yeah, Apple Music, Netflix, whatever. Yeah. You're giving. A lot of people, I guess I shouldn't say a lot of people, the way I've always given to the church has been a consistent set amount every single month. I guess some people do kind of change that up. For me, that's a fixed cost. I know I'm giving this much or this many dollars amount every single week, and so therefore it's this many dollars amount every single month. That's a fixed cost, doesn't change. If you pay for Wi-Fi, not changing every month, your phone bill, insurance, everything that you're like, okay, I have to pay this. There's nothing I can do about it. It's a fixed cost. So you write all those down. Step number three would be to write down a goal for what I would call your fluctuating costs. So you have your fixed costs, which is everything that I just described. Again, things that, I mean, I'd love to only pay $500 for my mortgage. It's a fixed cost. But your fluctuating costs are going to be everything that can change month to month based on how disciplined you are with your spending. So basically all food. You know you have to spend some amount on food because you have to eat to survive, but what is your goal going to be? So me and my wife break it down between groceries and eating out. We have those as two separate categories. But all food has to go in this category. Fuel for your car, obviously you have to use that, but that's not a fixed cost. That could change based on how much you choose to drive. Any kind of fun money. People don't go to the theaters much anymore, but going to theaters, me and you love to play golf. That would definitely fall into fun money for us.
Nails for girl, not for us guys, but
right,
nails, yeah. They're big into the shopping. We're not as much into the fun money all the time, but
yeah,
this absolutely can take place, and this is where you lose it in sports fees, things like that. Yeah.
Any kind of entertainment, any kind of, again, stuff that might change month to month. And so that would be the first thing, and then you just establish a reasonable dollar amount for each. For instance, if Joe, went to his wife and was like, "Hey, we're only going to spend $200 next month on groceries," that's not very reasonable. That's a ramen.
Yeah.
Right. That is not going to happen. But so what you want to do is establish a reasonable dollar amount for each. Say, I think we can get by on, again, to throw a number out there, $500 on groceries. We'll budget $150 for eating out. That's your goal. That means you have a range within that to spend, where if you have enough left over, you can go get some, McDonald's or Starbucks or whatever it is. A lot of people think budget and they think, I can't spend on anything fun. I can't get anything that I want, junk food, whatever. That's not the case. It just has to be within the realm. And then the last thing I put on here, and then Joe, if you have any questions or anything you want to say, is reevaluate that month to month. Again, let's say Joe said, "Hey, $200 on groceries." If you track your expenses and come back a month later and you're like, "We spent $750 on groceries," might want to reevaluate that one. Or, "Hey, my goal was $200 for eating out and we blew through $500. Need to reevaluate that. And so those things can change.
As I'm thinking about it, it's like there are only two ways to do this. Either make a lot more money and you'll blow through it if you don't have a budget, or you do need to actually do all of these steps as we're walking through it. Like I will just say, from a kind of stepping outside the outline, I've always had what my dad always said, which is like, "We'll just make more." That's what he said. "We'll just dig another hole," because it's used in the construction industry.
Yeah.
"We'll just make more." And I've always had that concept, "We'll just make more." And God has blessed me, and I've had the ability to kind of scale up in some areas and make more. And then you notice that you start living up to your means. Yeah. And this is the danger for us young men is, wow, we made a little money, and then we got to raise it. We're working at, we're working at McDonald's or whatever. We get a raise. Wow, we're making a little more money. And then next thing you know, like, you're taking on some jobs mowing in the summer, and then your buddy asks you to do something for $500. Well, that's a lot of money.
So what do you do? You spend more.
So you spend more, and it just goes up to this. This is going to guard you against that. What is your goal? I love that idea of, like, what is the reasonable amount you think you should be spending for each? What is a goal you can set on this? And as the money grows, maybe you can add a little bit more, but at least you're reining it in your mind.
And there's still intentionality.
Exactly. The easiest thing to do is to scale up and be like, "Well, I was making 50 a year, now I'm making 70 a year. Woo, fun money out the door." This is where you really have to deal with the fluctuating costs and not live up to your means, and make sure that you stay plugged in and intentional, exactly as you said, on your costs. I think that's a great point.
Yeah. So another thing that I forgot to add on here is there's going to be things every single month that are just unforeseen.
Yeah.
So I would encourage you to have a category on your budget of, like, miscellaneous expenses, oil change for your car. You don't need that every month, but there are some months you do need it. Getting a haircut. You don't need it every month, but, again, there's just things that are renewing your tags is once a year. It's got to go somewhere. You kind of have to have a category for everything. And so I would encourage you, very much in the fluctuating cost range, have a miscellaneous expense. Every business ever has one of those as well. Like, we don't really know what category to put this in. It's going to go here. Yep. Step number four is going to be saving. So you have your fixed costs. You have your things that you're going to spend on. You just might need to be a little bit more disciplined on them. Again, you're eating out, your grocery bill, whatever it is. Step four would be make sure that you are setting some amount of money aside for saving/retirement every single month. This is where a lot of people get it wrong of, like, "Well, I'll just see what I have left over every single month, and then I'll put that into savings." The problem with that is that means your money is probably more – is you're viewing yourself as having more money than you actually have, and so that's going to eating out or having fun or whatever. It's like, "Oh, man, I've only got $100 left. Sure, I'll put that in savings." As opposed to incorporating that into your budget of, like, "This is a fixed cost. We're going to put $500 into the bank every single month. If we have to give up eating out, we're going to do that because we want to make sure we're putting money into our, retirement or savings or whatever." I put on here, you should not budget for your Netflix subscription and for eating out, but not have any budget for savings. That's just a horrible way to do things of, like, "I'm going to make sure that I budget for eating out and for my Netflix and my golf or whatever, and then whatever's left over, I'll give to savings. Not a good idea.
I specifically like, actually, I'm going to say it how you say it on here. You shouldn't budget for your Netflix subscription and eating out, but not for your future. That's really what this is about.
Yeah.
You have to think about and take care of future self.
Yep.
I got to think about future Joe. Man, I can have all the fun today, but you know what? Future Joe is going to be broke at 60, and I'm going to have to be working into my 80s because I did not budget for the future. So I just wanted to say, like, how you put this on the outline is perfect. You have to budget for your future.
And not just long-term, but short-term.
Yeah.
Future Joe in 5 years might need a new car.
Right.
You know, future Joe in 10 years might need... or might want to buy another house, might buy a nicer house or whatever it
future
is.
Future Joe in 2 months might need new tires. Who knows?
And if, go ahead. I was just going to say, if you're putting $50 to $75 away because that's all you have left over for savings, that doesn't add up very fast.
I would say this is a big one for young men specifically. If you have an income that is going to be set, you're getting a paycheck. So I don't get a paycheck. I get whatever. If I do a bunch of clients, I get it. If I don't do any clients, I don't get any money. So it is a little bit more challenging. It is. I joke with Will back and forth, like, I can't actually do a budget on a, you know, not on a fixed income. You absolutely can. You have to be a little more intentional, which I'm not, in something that I'm working toward. But if you are, I would say as a young man, start the 401k immediately. Start having money taken out of your check toward savings because it's so much easier. And this is why they're
especially
so
if your
smart.
Company matches it.
Exactly. Exactly. But it's so smart in the way they did taxes because they take taxes out of somebody's paycheck. Now, they don't take tax out of my paycheck. I actually have to write a check at the end of the year for all of the, because I am 1099 and I write a check. That's when you go, ouch, the government stinks. I hate this. Yeah. I hate taxation. It's theft, but it's theft all year round. But when it's taken out of your check, it's like, I got an $800 check. Whoa. You didn't see that they took $250 in taxes because right. That's a little line on the check. If
it's
you don't pay
point,
attention
yeah.
to. Well, I would say the same thing about savings, which is if at all possible, have that drawn out of that. Have somebody do it for you or do it in a 401k or something like that where it's out of sight, out of mind. Instead of having to, and if you don't have this, yes, be more intentional. You need to put into savings. But that makes it a lot easier. When we had it drafted out of our account into investments and things like that, it makes it that much more easy for our investments to start growing. And it's kind of out of sight, out of mind for me where I'm not having to physically write the check.
Yeah, there's a whole other episode we could do about the kind of minute details of like the credit cards you brought up or, you know, Roth IRA versus 401k. I didn't
sure.
want to get into that here, even though I think it's great for people to know. Just know like what we're going through. There's a whole lot more we could go into that
correct.
We're just, you know, we don't want to bore you to death.
And I don't want to get into too much of that either, but I do have a question.
Yeah.
So Dave Ramsey's big on the $1,000, right? Put away.
Yeah. The emergency fund. Yeah.
Going to the emergency fund. That's part savings, part of what you were talking about miscellaneous last time of like these things hit. I've heard of others though that say you should have 3 months of your expenses covered, which could be significant.
Could be
you're
a
talking
lot.
12, 15 grand, whatever it is. What are your thoughts on that? Where do you fall as savings, as a young man is looking to save for this emergency fund and such like that? What are your thoughts? Is it the $1,000 Dave Ramsey? Is it somewhere in the middle?
So I think Dave Ramsey's thing is like, get $1,000 first, and then once you have that, you need to basically get all your debt paid off. And then you build up your fund. So kind of where I fall, let's say you're 19 years old. Let's say you got some student loan debt, maybe a car debt. And that would be another thing I forgot to say in the fixed cost. Like if you have a car payment, that's a fixed cost. You got to pay it.
Yeah.
But let's say you've got that debt. Let's say you've got all that. I do kind of lean towards you need a little bit of a cushion in the bank. So maybe before you start working to pay the debt off, before you start investing in a Roth IRA or investing in retirement, you need to get some kind of fund built up. $1,000, again, he says do that first. And then he said, I think he says 6 months of living expenses, which is kind of insane.
That's
but, you know, that's a lot of money for a lot of people. But yeah, I would say, you know, before you start getting into the retirement realm and you know, putting money aside for that, build up your emergency fund. So just to recap our steps real quick, did you have something else?
No, I got the steps right here just in case you couldn't remember.
Yeah, I think I got it. So step one is going to be make sure you can track your expenses. Step number two is going to be write down your fixed costs. Again, everything we talked about a second ago. Step number three is going to be write down a goal for your fluctuating costs. Step four is make sure you have a plan for savings. Make sure that's working that into your budget. Now we're at step five, which is you now are going to calculate your monthly expenses. Very easy to do. All you do is you take your fixed costs and you add that with your goals for your fluctuating costs. So again, you take your $180 car payment, you take your $200 insurance bill, your $1,000 mortgage, and you add that in with, hey, I want to spend $500 on groceries. I want to spend, you know, again, you add all those things together. That bottom line is your total monthly expenses. Pretty easy. Then you go to step number six, which is where you bring your income in. Now you calculate what your income is going to be for the month, and you can do that retroactively. Like, you can go back and say, okay, I made this much money this month. Now, Joe, I'll let you ask, what about income that changes? Some people have a fixed income, some people do not, especially if you're like hourly, work some overtime, or, you know, don't work some overtime, maybe if you're self-employed. Did you want to get into that at all? Because that does tie into a little bit of like people that don't have a fixed income.
Yeah, I think this is where you have to be way more intentional on the savings side of things. When you have this monthly income, it is fluctuating. When you are looking at the expenses, when money's really good, you go out and spend a bunch. The biggest thing I would say specifically for this, because you're the expert here, and so I'm going to defer to you on what to do on when income changes, I would say do not get into any credit or anything like that that is going to stay for long term. So you can go out and you can get some massive, you know, some fantastic car, a massive credit line or whatever, and you rack it up because you're making great money. And then the next month you drop below the floor and you go, man, how do I make this payment?
Yeah.
Don't get into anything ahead of time when you have fluctuating costs that you're not going to be able to consistently meet that payment, because you don't want your car getting repossessed because you didn't factor in like, wow, I dropped from $5,000 a week to, you know, a grand a week, and I, you know, those type of things.
I would encourage you, if you do have a fluctuating income, do your budget retroactively. By that I mean, look back, let's say, you know, you get through January, it's February 2nd, you look back and you say, okay, I can now add up all my monthly expenses, which was step five, and I can go in there and put what my income was. Yeah. And then what that's going to allow you to do is move on to the next few months of, like, especially if you get a lot of data of like, okay, on average, I made this amount of money per month. Some months it might be more, some months it might be less, but you at least get yourself a ballpark figure. And what I put on here is, doesn't have to be exact, but a conservative ballpark figure will work. So Joe, let's say, again, hypothetically, let's say you're looking at your income like, you know, man, some months I make, you know, $5,000, or some months I make $6,500 a month, some months I only make $4,000. The conservative number there is probably $5,000 a month, yep. You know, based on that. Take your average and then subtract a little bit. But you calculate your monthly income. You can do it retroactively. And then step seven is the most fun part for me, is your surplus versus your deficit. And all that means is you take, what did I make last month for the month of January? Made $5,000. And then you subtract your monthly expenses that you already calculated in step five from that. And let's say your monthly expenses were $4,200. That means you have a surplus of $800. $800 left over for the month that you made, that if you were a business would be considered net profit. Now, the first thing that I have on here is, have a plan for your surplus. This is where a lot of people get into trouble, is like, you know, I don't know where my money goes. I spend it on this. Or again, maybe we made more money so we can go to the movies a little bit more. I can go do this, spend more money eating out. And just like that, your surplus disappeared. This is where I would encourage you to have a plan for that. Be very intentional. Let's say you're looking down the road like, I'm going to need a new car in 3 years. Maybe every single month you set your surplus aside to save for a new car. Maybe, and this is where Dave Ramsey comes in, he would say, whatever your surplus is, throw it at whatever debt you have.
Yeah.
Pay off your debt. Whatever it is, have a plan for it. I know my wife and I last year, we had a surplus in November, and I said, you know what, we're going to go ahead and take some of that and use it for Christmas gifts for next month, because December was coming up. Whatever it is, have a plan for it. Now, the other side of the surplus is, let's say your monthly expense, let's say your income was $5,000, but your monthly expenses were $5,400. That means you had a deficit, a negative $400 for the month. That's where you might need to reevaluate your budget. Are you spending too much on eating out? Are you spending too much on your fluctuating costs? Because the thing is, if you have a deficit every single month, Joe kind of already spoke to this, there's really only two ways to fix it. You either increase your income or you decrease your spending. Not really a door number three there. Yep. You either have to make more money or you have to spend less money. But that's where you really can get a hold of, even with the people who don't have fixed incomes, this is where you can look back at the month and go, awesome, we had a $1,200 surplus. Let's do this with it. Or, yikes, we had a $300 deficit. We spent too much here. But at the very least, you know what's going on with your money and you can have a plan for it.
This is a great outline, man. This is great stuff. What this is going to take is delayed gratification. As you're talking, you know, you're planning for 3 years. Like, you have to look ahead. You have to be a planner, and you also have to delay gratification, because that $50 a month that you were planning to put aside just for the new car, or $100 a month, or whatever it is for the next few years. You know, my friend really wants to go out to Buffalo Wild Wings tonight, and I don't really have the budget.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't have that car payment for 3-4 years, whatever it's going to be. I can push that out a month. That's fine. Yeah. I can push it out another month. I can push it out another month. You never get the new car because you never save for anything because you're always doing that. It takes intentionality, but it also takes delaying that gratification and being able to say, I'm going to need this then, instead of doing it immediately.
Yeah, exactly. And again, like, it does not matter how much money you make. It does not matter. Well, you know, I have to, you can do this at any level. If you're 17, you can do this. I mean, again, if you get into the habit now of like just tracking, okay, what did I spend versus what did I take in? That's all businesses do also, is like, what were our expenses and how much revenue did we generate? That tells you if a business is going out of business or not. If they are constantly spending more than they're making, it's what Disney's doing right now, actually.
Yeah.
Not great. That is not a great trajectory for the business. Exact same thing with you, especially when you get a family. If you're spending more than you're making, again, you either got to increase your income or decrease your spending. It's that simple.
You also need to be aware of how you're using your money. And I think we got into this in the money episode. If you're using your money by running from all of the issues that you don't want to have and you're a shopaholic, basically, or you're an eat-out-aholic, which is very much where I have been and am very much working on, when you're eating out all the time and that's how you escape all the problems, and it's like, man, I'm so stressed. That just sounds a smoothie, or this, boy, that peanut butter parfait from DQ. That would really solve my problems. We don't think like that, but honestly, that's how quickly this gets away from us unless we're living by a budget. This assumes you have a very healthy relationship with finances and with yourself enough where you're not blowing your finances to go out and to try to meet other needs. Get on a budget and find somebody who's willing to help you with this. But then you go, we zoom out, we go, okay, well, why is this important? Godly Young Men podcast. As with the testosterone, like, okay, we're getting a little outside the realm of, I don't think so. I don't think with the testosterone, we're outside the realm of godly young men, nor are we with this one. And as a matter of fact, you have a verse to show just why this is important, even from a biblical place.
I think this verse is very interesting. So the Proverbs obviously have a great deal to say about money. This one hits pretty hard. Proverbs 21 verse 5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. Basically, exactly what Joe just said. The idea that if you are able to be diligent with your spending, if you're able to delay your gratification, I mean, that's exactly what it says. The plans of the diligent, the plans, you have to plan, you have to be intentional, leads surely to plenty. But those of everyone who is hasty, though, you know, quick spender, impulse buyer, like, oh, I really want the new iPhone. Sure, I only have one generation back, but I just want the new one anyway, or the new Xbox console, or, you know, man, we spent a lot of money this month, but I still really want to go out to eat. It says it's going to lead to poverty. And so that would be kind of where I would tie this, you know, the Bible into this, is like, there's a lot of wisdom in the Proverbs about planning for the future and being diligent. And again, as we've kind of said this whole episode, it doesn't mean you can't spend money on fun things. We're going golfing later this week. Costs money. Golf is not cheap. I've worked that into our budget to where I know us going golfing this week is not going to lead to my family being $200 short at the end of the month. It's all about intentionality. And so a lot of this episode has been very, again, nitty-gritty, very like, man, this is might be boring for some people. Man, you've got to know how to do this for you godly young men who are going to be leading your families.
Yep.
If you get to the end of every single month here in 10 years and you're like, I just don't know where my money goes, you have a problem. And this is kind of, again, the goal for the episode is to help you through that problem.
And let me lay this out just briefly, and then we're going to wrap up. As to how this could go wrong, and yeah, this is a doomsday, not really. You're bad with your money. You don't budget. You're barely making enough, barely making ends
meet. Paycheck to paycheck.
Paycheck to paycheck. You get a wife. Whew, that's a lot. Okay, so maybe take on another job, but you're really paycheck to paycheck. You really had the intention of her being able to stay home, but let's just be honest, it's not happening. Where you live, it's just the expenses are too high. Your spending is out of control. You have a $450 car payment, and because you're young, the insurance is $250, and you know your mortgage, you could probably go to a cheaper apartment, but you don't. And so next thing you know, your wife's working. Okay, well, we don't have kids yet, so the wife is working. But then when the kids come along, kids cost a lot of money, and I really haven't gotten a raise in a long time, and I just can't really, I don't know that I can ask for a raise because they might fire me, and so we're just going to stick it out. So my wife will work just for a little bit. Then she continues to work. Then you start making a little bit of money, but now your wife, you guys make a really good money. You're finally getting used to the income. You're finally out of debt. This is great. Well, your wife's going to come home and help the kids, but no, I mean, that's not going to happen. Like, we're finally making good money. We're finally getting in the black, right? We're getting ahead on these things. So you send your kids to public school, send your kids to somebody else to train them, and your kids are getting inundated with doctrine, and you know, postmodern, we talked about that a couple episodes ago, postmodern doctrine, and they're getting inundated with atheism and LGBTQ and everything else, but that money is really, really nice. And then maybe she loses her job, but now she's got to find another one, or maybe you lose your job, and thank goodness she's still working.
Because you spent up to the limit.
This is what not having a handle on your budget can do. You can have your kids going to a godless school, going, you know, and then your kids end up falling away. And is it really because you couldn't control yourself with a budget? Not necessarily, but it didn't help. It certainly didn't help. So just to spell this out and why we're passionate about this, why Will is so passionate about this, this stuff matters. If you can't get this under control, there are so many people. We talk about stress levels and how much cortisol and stress really, you know, one of the biggest stressors in life, having no money, having no money and wondering how you're going to make ends meet.
And in case you haven't noticed, stuff is getting more and more expensive.
Exactly. With inflation and everything else, we as young men, godly young men, need to be leveling up in life, trying to make as much as possible. And that doesn't even consider the idea of setting your kids up for the future, setting up generational wealth. We're talking just making it in this day and age. We want to be men who are very studious, you know, where we are great in school and we work really, really hard. We're entrepreneurial. We put ourselves into positions and opportunities that allow us to make more money, and we're smart with the money that we have, so that in by the time we're 70 years old, we're sitting back on the beach chilling. All our kids are doing pretty well for themselves. Everybody's faithful.
We're able to give more. We're able to work more for the church.
Exactly. Like, this all starts with this. Okay, so please don't blow this episode off and go, well, that's kind of boring. Like, this all starts with exactly what Will was talking about. So if you need to go back, maybe we can, I think, as you do beautifully on the screen, we'll put the 1 through 7, right?
Oh, yeah.
Make sure that you are paying attention to these things, taking these 7 steps, see what it does in your life, and establish these habits as a young man. Because, man, by the time you're 50, if you're doing this, you are going to be looking pretty good.
And hit us up with questions. I mean, again, we this was the speed version. There's a whole lot of other things, saving for your kids' college that you can and should be doing. How much should you be putting towards retirement? All stuff we don't need to get into here. Yep. But important financial questions, and as I said a second ago, with how expensive stuff is getting, it's not like prices are just going to drop all of a sudden. Like, you know, bacon's going to be cheaper now than it was. You know, that's just not the way it works. You do have to have a plan. The intentionality is so key here. And so, yeah, that's a great way to wrap from Joe there. I appreciate him indulging me with this episode again. Kind of my geek zone here. But we're going to wrap right there. This has been episode 76, right? Of the Godly Kid. Kind of run together at this point. Yep. But 76. Man. So we'll be back next week for episode 77 of the Godly Young Men podcast. Thank you so much for watching and listening.